Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Of course, this is the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast. I'm your host. My name is Apostle Lonnie Stocks. I want you to stay tuned today. If you'd like to call us, you can call us at 252-916-0104 or 252-214-0799. Listen, God got a word for you. Stay tuned today, and I want you to be blessed. We're coming to you from the Jesus Saved Ministry. We're located in Greenville, North Carolina. The address is 1007 West Arlington Boulevard, Greenville, North Carolina, 27834. You can meet us on the web at www.tjsm.org. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned and be blessed in Jesus' name. Well, praise Him and God bless. Good evening to you. It's good to be here. God is a good God, even on a bad day. I'm telling you, I had a great day today, but I've had a pretty good week all week. How you doing, sweetie? Are you all right?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fantastic.
You're not sleepy right now, are you?
No, sir.
Just a teeny weeny bit.
Just a little bit.
All right. We'll get sleep. We'll get some sleep after a while.
Amen.
I hope everybody's okay. I'm doing all right. Got church tomorrow night. I had woke up yesterday morning and the hot water wasn't coming out. I mean, the pipe that came loose, we had a brother do some work for us about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He half did it. And that cold water popped that pipe out.
Mm-hmm.
But God is good. And we got another group of people to come do it. And they charged me a real... What was it, $375?
Mm-hmm.
I gave him $400. I mean, they did a great job, and I appreciate it.
Amen.
Another company came and didn't charge me nothing for cutting the water off.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because they didn't do the job. But the other company came first. I think these people are just nice people.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, I'm grateful. And then today, we had the man put a, we had the other room over there repaired.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get some videos and put it in there for that. We had the other room repaired, had this gentleman that did the water yesterday came and added a duct for heat all the way from the basement all the way to the top, to the floor of the house. That's just a blessing. I think he charged me, what did he charge me? Well, he charged me $1,500. That's for everything, though.
Yeah.
He bought all the parts. And he installed it. So I think that was good.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good day. Amen. And tonight, I tell you, I want to talk about something that I think is very important. I want to talk about tonight how you can get caught up with something. You can truly get caught up in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, someone listening to me tonight, right now, you got caught in something. You didn't plan it, but it just happened. And this woman in the Bible, she was there doing her job and got caught up in a bad situation. So we're going to talk about that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's take a look at something here.
That's good.
I want to go right here. Let's see. Caught up in a bad situation. Caught up in a bad situation. That's my, keep that in mind.
Okay.
That's going to be the topic tonight. Caught up in a bad situation. Well, first of all, I want to talk about what happened right here. Okay. Okay, I hit the button. There you go. I'm moving these things around up here. There we go. Okay.
Great job.
I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Amen. The word, the work of God might be displayed. Let's talk about that. The disciples, go ahead.
The disciples have some incorrect ideas about the cause of affliction, and Jesus corrects them.
Many people, we talked about that a little bit last night, remember?
Mm-hmm.
How people will, you get sick, and they'll say, well, it's your fault.
Mm.
Maybe you, some of you did wrong.
Mm.
And Jesus had to straighten these disciples up. What I say, no, they think what?
They think that every serious illness or difficulty is the result of some sin or offense against God.
Every time something happens, there's a lot of people, Christians now, and they'll say, well, you had to sin.
Right.
Something you did wrong.
Right.
And that's why you're suffering.
Right.
You know, like the people's, the government's on strike, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been 45 days, or 30 or some days.
Mm-hmm.
And the one lady was on my house. She got a car, and they don't have food.
Mm.
It was on TV, right?
Wow.
And how it's really seriously. Now, she didn't ask for that.
No, she didn't.
She had a job,
mm-hmm.
and the government went on strike. Now, look what the guys, the plane drop flyers, the captain, some of them, they don't get paid.
The pilots?
Yeah. Because they were talking about they're going to go on strike.
Mm.
What is it? The people that protects them, what do you call them? The security.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of them are not getting paid.
Wow.
The Border Patrol, nobody getting paid.
Wow.
You know, all the security at airports, they're not getting paid.
Wow.
Now, nobody asked for that.
No, they didn't.
But the enemy says, it's got to be your fault.
Right.
And Jesus had to straighten that out. It's not always our fault.
Mm-mm.
It's like you and I woke up, what was it, Monday morning? With the hot water not working.
Yeah.
Now, what did we do? We didn't do anything.
No.
We hadn't drank no liquor, hadn't smoked no reefer. Hadn't been in no fight.
No.
But it happened.
Yeah.
Some things happen, saints. Some things just happen. And you got to stop blaming everybody because something happened. Some things just happen. They just happen. I mean, just happened. And so Jesus had to get that straight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take a look at this. Jesus said, at times what?
At times, sickness and suffering can result from a serious sin.
Sometimes.
5 and 14. Or foolish choices.
Sometimes your choices bring it on.
But not always.
But not always. It don't always be a sin. It's not always a bad choice. That the reason you got your problem. I know people that have never smoked a cigarette in their life and they wound up with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people that smoke. This one man, he was like 80 years old, had been smoking all his life, but he didn't have no cancer. So Jesus had to get this straight with you. Number four, for sometimes what?
Sometimes God allows suffering, which naturally affects everyone in our God-defined world, because he has a greater purpose that is not always understood at first.
Your sickness that you had,
mm-hmm.
the sickness that I had,
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it.
Mm-mm.
You know when the police locked me up in 2006, I think it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was bewildered. I ain't did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world is this happening to me? Not knowing that God was preparing me for something bigger.
Hmm.
When you got sick, I remember, I don't know what I was doing to you. Did they call me? I stopped by. The day I took you to the hospital.
They called you.
Who called me?
Somebody called you.
They called me. And I stopped by, and I had to help you downstairs. Who would believe that sickness that you had then, that you was going to be healed and be what you are now?
Right.
And you told me, what was it, yesterday, somewhere you went to the dealer and you almost bought a car?
Yeah, Monday when I took this floor.
That was yesterday, right?
Yeah, Monday.
Yes,
no, Monday.
You almost bought a car. Now,
yeah.
Here you was in New York when, say, 10 years ago. You couldn't buy no car what you want. But now you got God done bless you. Mm-hmm. Then you told me. You said, I almost got car. I said, whatever. I almost bought a car. I said, what? Yeah, man, I started buying a car. Now, who would believe that you'd be in a position when you were sick like that you'd be in a position to just go out and buy? How much you say car was?
It was $70,000. You cut your mic off. When you lean back, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Who would believe that you were going to be able to buy, you see, a $70,000 car?
$75,000.
Oh, my sector. Now, God done bless you in a position that you was getting ready to buy a $75,000 car.
Yeah.
Now, but how many years ago you had that stroke?
That major one, June 15th. 2012, I just saw it.
You would have never dreamed that you would be in the position you are now.
Oh, no.
Now, when did you move down to North Carolina?
March 2000.
March 2000, right?
March 2017,
right? Right, okay.
Okay.
And you bought a house?
Yeah, March.
How many bedrooms?
Six bedrooms. Yeah.
Look, would you have believed in March 2006 and 2017 you're going to be in a position to buy a six-bedroom house and pay for it cash?
No.
See, God sometimes says, I'm trying to tell you, some situation looks bad and you don't have to do nothing to get in it.
No.
But sometimes God lets you in that situation. Because he's going to take you to something better. Number four,
sometimes God allows suffering, which naturally affects everyone in our God-defying world.
It affects your whole family.
Oh, yes, it did.
Go ahead.
Because he has a greater purpose that is not always understood at first.
You couldn't understand. I remember you told me, I don't know which one of your kids was graduating, and you were walking with a crutch. We were with a walk or a crutch, which one?
Theo. I went to Theo's graduation on crutches.
And they were ashamed of you.
I went to Shuby's graduation on a walker. She was ashamed.
And they was ashamed of you.
Yeah, that was
true. My mama got a walker.
Yeah.
Now, let me just show you.
I had to come and accessorize.
God, you had to go there with accessorize.
Yeah.
And they didn't want it.
No.
Not because they didn't love you, but because they love you. And they didn't feel like they wanted their mother sick. They didn't want nobody to see their mother walk with a walker. Mm-hmm. They didn't want nobody to see their mother walk with a cane
and crutches
and all that kind of stuff. But look what God done did.
Yeah.
God done, but you don't walk with no walker.
Mm-mm.
You don't walk with no cane.
Mm-mm.
And God, and you drive everywhere. And just get ready yesterday to buy a brand new car for $75,000. And I said, you ain't supposed to be buying no doggone car unless you talk to me about it. You said, I got delivered.
I did.
Jesus Christ.
She called me too.
She did call you?
She called me back. She said, Miss Doc, did you talk to your husband? I said, yeah. He asked me, was I feeling okay?
I mean, but God got a big. See, sometimes when we go through things, God is preparing for something bigger.
Amen.
Let's look at something here. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 6, here's this woman and get caught in a situation. And it's nothing that she asked for.
True that.
Verse number 1 in Genesis chapter 16, and read this from the Message Bible. What is that?
Sarai, Abram's wife, hadn't yet produced a child. She had an Egyptian maid named Hagar.
Now here's Hagar, just a maid, doing her job.
Yeah.
Now she's getting caught up in something. But she don't even know it.
Yeah.
Look, she just had a job.
Just had a job.
Now, Hagar is getting ready to get caught up in something.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we get caught up in things, and we don't understand it, but God got a greater purpose.
Yeah.
Now, look at this. The Bible says, In the next verse, what it said?
Sarai said to Abram, God has not seen fit to let me have a child. Sleep with my maid. Maybe I can get a family from her. Abram agreed to do what Sarai said.
Look, so Sarai was figured out I'd be a surrogate mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hagar had a baby, and I get all the credit.
Mm.
But she didn't know she was putting Hagar in a situation and herself in a situation.
Yeah,
a situation that, I mean, she thought she was doing right. Anytime you call yourself going to help God in a way that he didn't tell you,
mm-hmm.
you're never right.
Right.
If God tells you to stand still and wait, then that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Not go on and figure out you can do it on your own. And that's what Sarai did. God had promised her and Abraham a baby.
You sending my clothes again?
This mic must be got bad. You know what? If I got to change the battery, let's see. Go ahead. Keep playing.
Well, she found herself in a situation. It couldn't have been. Well, she don't know what she's about to walk into. She don't. Sarai thought she was doing right. But anytime you try to help God along the way, God really don't need our help. But Sarai, Abram, Hagar are about to find themselves in a situation that they would never have anticipated. Never.
And that's the way life is, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you try to help God, you might think it seems, you know, I can make it be better. Yeah. It ain't going to be better. It's going to be worse. Anytime I preached once in 2006, and I remember I preached a subject, I said, well, anytime I get in something, I mess it up.
Yeah.
But if I leave it alone, God always makes it work out right.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next day, I went to jail. My wife, ex-wife, boyfriend, mother called me. And she said, Pastor Stouts, can you talk to your wife and tell her to leave my son alone? Because he's married and so forth and so forth. And what I should have said, well, you talk to her. But no, me and my big mouth, that I went over to the house. I wasn't even sleeping. I was standing in the church. And I said, I need to talk to you. She said, what about? I said, your boyfriend mother called me and told me to tell you to leave her son alone. And boy, she blew all up and everything. I told her, let's pray. She said, your ASS is going to jail today.
Hmm.
And I went to jail for nothing. All I did was try to straighten things out because I got in it.
Hmm.
God said he don't need my help.
He really don't.
You know, we think we can help God.
Hmm.
But if God tell you to stand still, he said, vengeance belong to me. I will repay.
That's what he said.
You can't repay. And so I found myself in a bad situation.
Yeah.
Honey, they took me to jail. Lonnie Stocks, Apostle Lonnie Stocks.
Apostle.
They took me to jail. They took my wallet. I left it home. My ex-wife went in and got my credit cards and ran up a big bill on me. I mean, they just, I went to jail. Stayed in there 42 hours. Got out 12 o'clock at night. And I think the next day, by 3 o'clock, I'm back in jail again. She went down and lied on me and said, well, he came in the house and came in the bathroom where I was at. I went nowhere around her. But I found myself back in jail. I was caught in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Hagar was. A bad situation. I mean, that was a bad situation. Take a look at something here. The next verse. So what?
So Sarai, Abram's wife, took her Egyptian maid Hagar and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. Abram had been living 10 years in Canaan when this took place.
He had already, him and his wife was together. And so Sarai got her husband to sleep with Hagar, and she gave Hagar to Abraham for a wife, but not knowing that's going to create a problem later on. See, Sarai had good intentions, and I'm sure Hagar did too. But what happened was, once Hagar had a baby and Sarah didn't have one, Hagar started feeling some type of way. She started feeling that she was better. But it all started because Sarai started it.
Mm-hmm.
Who started it?
Sarai.
She's the one that started it.
Her bright idea.
Her bright idea. But poor little Hagar, now here she's in something. Now look at this. The next verse says he what?
He slept with Hagar, and she got pregnant.
And she got pregnant.
When Hagar learned she was pregnant, she looked down on her mistress.
Now, I don't agree with Hagar, but I understand it. You know, I'm doing something that your own wife can't do. I'm giving you a baby. And so she started looking down on the very woman that got her the job.
This is what
I... You understand?
Yes.
Now, so look what it says in the next verse.
Sarai told Abram, "Is all your fault."
Sarah blamed Abraham. He didn't do it. Sarah did it. So she said, "What?
It's all your fault that I'm suffering this abuse."
She blamed her husband because Hagar began to look down on Sarah because she was barren. Now, Sarah was wrong. I mean, Hagar was wrong. But she was placed in that situation. Can you understand that?
Yeah.
You don't understand it, do you? Say, so y'all understand that? She was pushed in that situation. Hagar was a maid. She wasn't looking to sleep with no Abraham. But Sarah, the one, got her to sleep with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Abraham's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So when Abraham slept with her, and with permission from his wife, she gets pregnant. So once she gets pregnant, her mind goes to say, well, I'm a better woman than her. I have kids, and she can't. And so she treated Hagar wrong. What are you going to say about it, then?
I'm speechless.
You're speechless?
Yeah, because it's Sarah's fault.
It's Sarah's fault, right?
Yeah.
But now, so Hagar is put in a bad situation. She's placed in a place that means it's a bad situation. Look what it's like, verse 6. Go ahead.
You decide, said Abram. Your maid is your business.
Go ahead.
Sarai was abusive to Hagar, and Hagar ran away.
Sarah, after Hagar got pregnant, started really treating her bad. The Bible says she was abusive to her. So Hagar ran away with the baby. And the angel had to come to her. And tell her, go back, why are you out here? And she said, I'm Sarah's maid, and she's treating me bad. And he said, no, you go back. And your child's going to be great. Now, she didn't, look,
mm-hmm.
When Hagar left, she was going back to Egypt.
Okay.
She had always, well, they used me as a guinea pig. I get pregnant. Now they don't want me no more. The same woman that gave me to this man, all of a sudden, she turns against me. And Hagar said, well, best thing me is get my hat and scat.
I'm going home.
I'm going home. And so that's where Isaac, the well, where the angel found that, that's where they found Isaac. And they found Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about that the other night. But look, mm-hmm. Here she is in a situation that she didn't put herself in. Her master and her mistress. Her mistress and her master. Her boss put it in him.
Hmm.
Now she's out there running for her life. Take a look at something. About joy. I want to talk about joy. What is it?
The passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good.
Sarah had no joy. Sarah had burst her balloon. You let somebody give you a balloon and stick a pin in it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she gave this girl to her husband, but now she started treating her bad after she got pregnant. So, Hagar didn't have no joy. Pleasure, but what?
Pleasurable feelings or emotions caused by success, good fortune.
She was pregnant
life.
And couldn't even feel good about it. Good fortune. Because the woman kicked in the street. Honey, she treated so bad, she might well go. You know, when you get treated bad, sometimes you just got to get on up and get out of here. So now, she's out in the street. Go ahead.
And my rational prospect of possessing what we love or desire.
She loved her job. And I'm sure after Abraham started bumping her, she fell in love with him too. But it's amazing, when Sarah died, he didn't marry her. You ever thought about that?
No.
So Abraham really never had no real deep feeling for her.
No.
He really didn't. Because Sarah died, and first I think Hagar was still living. He didn't have no feelings for her. So now, she had no gladness. She was not excited, and she didn't feel delighted. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't put herself there. Look at Genesis 16, chapter verse 1, and look at what the New Living Testament said. What does it say?
Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar.
She had an Egyptian servant. Now, girl was working for, like somebody working for a job, get a job. I'm telling y'all, sometimes on jobs, you can get in some trouble. But you're not even looking. You're not even looking for a baby. It just happens. It just happens. Now, it would look like she's getting a promotion because now as a slave, you know, she was like a slave. She didn't have no sex. She was not intimate with nobody. She was just cooking and taking care of the house. But now her master, wife, decided to let her husband sleep with her. Now look, the next verse, what happened?
So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal.
All Sarai's proposal. She's the one that started. Oh, she had the master plan. Okay, look what happened. Next verse, what happened?
So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar,
she took her,
the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife.
And gave her maid to Abram so he could have sex with her. Now the maid was a slave. You understand? A slave ain't got no right. You got to do whatever the master tell you. So she had to have sex with Abraham because Abraham's wife told her to. You can't get with that bank. You don't understand it, do you?
I understand.
You do?
Yeah.
Look, she had to have sex with Abraham because her master told her. She was a slave. Now, but look what happened. It wasn't a smooth transition. There was a lot of problems, hills, and valleys. that was going to take place. And she had nothing to do with it. I want you to get the point that Hagar did not instigate this.
So you want me to get the point?
I'm trying to tell you something.
Oh, I'm a woman. I got the point already.
You got the point?
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't give you no woman to you talking about I can't have kids. If I can't have kids, we ain't having no kids.
But anyway.
But that's what I'm saying. Hagar had nothing to do with it. Sarai was enough feelings from the beginning.
Right. So Hagar gets herself in a problem that she didn't ask. She didn't bring it on. She did not suggest it. She's in a situation. What's the catch 26? Catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
Damn if you do and damn if you don't. If she hadn't slept with Abraham, they would have killed her. You know that, right? If the slave don't do what you tell the slave to do, he loses his right, his life, his right to live. So now here's Hagar in a situation that she didn't ask to be in, and now she's forced to sleep with a man, and then she gets pregnant.
Right.
But that was the whole plan all the time.
Right. The plan, Sarah's plan worked. Hagar got pregnant. What Sarah didn't count on was Sarah was going to feel a type of way. That's what Sarah didn't count on.
She didn't count on that.
She's going to feel a type of way. And that's what we don't count on. The problem is, when we start trying to help God, our plan always go left when we expect it to go right. Because it's never going to work out the way we expect God to work out. We cannot help God. We just got to follow his plan. We got to trust that his way is our way is never going to work out. We're always going to wind up botching the plan up. That's why we just got to trust God. Sorry, I botched the plan. Because as soon as Hagar gets pregnant, she's like, oh, so she thinks she better than me. Hagar didn't even have to look at her type of way. Just watching this woman that my husband, oh, he slept with her. And look what happened.
But she the one gave him to her.
Forget all that.
I can't forget that.
No, Sarah can't either. See? You can't.
I can't forget that.
I know you can't.
Because she gave.
But Sarah couldn't either. Sarah thought she could. Because she's like, maybe I'll have
so poor, everybody looking at, you know, the thing. But how about Hagar? She's innocent again.
Sarai messed up.
She's innocent. It's a situation that she didn't ask for.
It's a situation. Sarai, I said, I'm
going
to have
there's someone out there tonight, you're in something that you didn't intend to be there.
Nope.
But you're there.
Somebody call themselves helping God out. Listen. Now you got a situation.
Listen. And the next verse 4, what is that?
So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt.
Well,
now the Bible is right.
Bible is right.
So Hagar did help her situation, because she began to treat Sarah different.
Well, she couldn't help herself.
Why? Because she was pregnant.
She didn't ask to sleep with that man. She did not ask to sleep with Abraham.
No, she
was not slipping and sliding. People didn't hide it.
No, she wasn't.
Sarai suggested it.
True.
So Sarai put her in a position that nobody wants to be in.
Right.
And after she got that, she started feeling like a woman.
Oh.
She started feeling worth.
Oh. She did give it to her. The Bible says she gave it to her as a wife.
Right. So it was Sarai's problem that put Hagar there.
Sarah started feeling the type of way.
Yeah. So Sarah put Hagar there.
Yep.
And Hagar got pregnant. And Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to be his wife. So quite naturally, after the woman has intimacy with him,
and she gets pregnant, she's gonna want to feel.
She's gonna feel some type of way.
Yeah.
And then the Bible tells us something here, right?
Yeah.
Look, I just see my thing is I believe the word of God.
Yeah, every bit.
The next verse said, then Sarah said to what?
to Abram, this is all your fault.
She blamed Abram.
She didn't take no blame herself.
Sarah was the one did it all.
Verse 1, it was her idea.
It was her idea.
Oh, she gave Abram, I got an idea. He have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Hagar, nothing to do with it.
Now, Sarah blames Abraham. She says, all your fault. Then she said, go ahead.
I put my servant into your arms.
Wait a minute. You put her there.
Put her there.
She said she did it.
I put my servant into your arms.
Hagar didn't do it.
Hagar didn't come to her.
I'm trying to tell you.
She went to Abraham.
Hagar is looked down on by Sarai. Sarai is the one that created the problem.
She created the whole thing. He can't help her.
Put my servant into your arm, but what?
But now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt.
Well, what do you think going to happen? What do you think the woman will have a baby for the man?
And you gave him to her new wife.
Yeah, you gave him to her.
You did the whole thing, but she started with, this is all your fault.
I'm trying to tell you something.
Then the Lord will show who's wrong, you or me.
Did you see that? So she said Abraham's wrong. But she gave the girl to Abraham.
And told him to get her pregnant.
Told her to get pregnant.
But now,
now you're going to blame. So if someone out here today, you done got in trouble, but you didn't put yourself there. Somebody else put you there. Now they're sitting back laughing at you. I'm trying to tell you, don't give up.
Jesus, have mercy. No.
Look, don't give up.
Lord Jesus.
God still sees the truth.
Jesus.
And so I want y'all to see tonight,
Lord God,
even though Hagar ran away, even though she ran away, or she ran away, but God sent an angel to comfort her.
God,
and I believe God got me to use this broadcast tonight to help somebody.
Amen.
I don't know your situation.
Amen.
I don't know. You might be took the bid for somebody. You might have took the bullet for somebody. I don't know.
Amen.
Or you might have been set up. I don't know.
Amen.
But God told me to tell you, don't give up.
Yes.
He's still on your side.
Thank you, Jesus.
Please don't give up. You may be stagnated today because of something somebody else did.
Wow.
You're in a situation. You ask to yourself, how did I get here? How did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But God sees it all.
Mm-hmm.
Please be encouraged. Take a look at something else here. The next verse, verse 6, what is it?
Abram replied, look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away.
She ran away with the child, with the baby. Because she couldn't take it no more. And I'm telling someone tonight, don't give up. No, hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hands. He's going to bring you out.
Amen.
Look, Hagar, I put this note about her. What did I say about her? Hagar?
Hagar, the word, her name means flight. An Egyptian woman, the handmaid or slave of Sarah.
See, she was a slave. She had to sleep with Abraham because Sarah told her. Hagar had no rights. But now she's blamed for everything. Look what, number two, I said what?
Whom the latter gave as a concubine to Abraham after he had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and had no children by Sarah. Genesis 16, 2 and 3.
That was and before Christ, 12 years before Christ. Look, here's this woman now. Got all kinds of problems. All because her mistress, her master put in it. Now, same master's mad with her.
Same person.
Good God Almighty. You know, people will get you to do something, and then they'll blame you for it. Look what happened. What is it?
When Hagar saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
Well, that's kind of where it was. She wanted Abraham for all herself then. That's what you would have did if you would have been a slave and somebody gave you to me And then you got pregnant for me. Did you see? Well, I want them all by myself. You just said you wouldn't give nobody away to your husband. So if somebody gave you their husband and then you got him, after a while, and you get pregnant, you want him all by yourself, won't you? That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So no wonder she despised
him. Yeah.
Look, Genesis 16:4, what did it say? And that's the mess about.
He slept with Hagar and she got pregnant. When Hagar learned she was pregnant, she looked down on her mistress.
Now, how do you think she felt?
Which she?
I'm talking about Hagar. When
Hagar.
She had to sleep with Abraham, and she had no choice in the matter. How do you think she felt then? She felt like useless. How would you feel if somebody gonna make you have sex with them? You ain't got no feeling for them. You wouldn't feel good, would you? So now here she is. No, I know I wouldn't. If somebody forced me to do something I don't want to do, no, I wouldn't want to do it. So here she is. After she gets pregnant, now she looks down on her mistress. She says, "Whoa, I can do something she can't do." Now, you got to understand, Hagar didn't know the scheme of Sarai.
Just Abraham did. Just Abraham and Sarah knew.
Hagar didn't know.
She didn't know they were sleeping with him so she could get pregnant.
She didn't know that.
She was pregnant and they were going to have a kid.
They were going to take the kid from her anyway. That's what Sarah's...
That's what Sarah's plan was.
Her plan was, let her have a baby, we're going to take the baby and kill her. But I had to kill her to it.
That's it.
But they were going to take the baby. And somebody's in a situation now, you doing all the work and somebody's getting the recognition. That don't make you feel good. I've been there.
No, I've been there too.
That don't make you feel good.
You're doing all the work and they're getting the recognition.
You're doing all the work and they're getting all the recognition.
Looking to bump you after
they're
while.
Looking at you as a bad person.
Yeah.
But you're not a bad person. I'm encouraging you tonight. Look, you're in a bad situation.
Yeah.
But God gonna bring you out.
Amen.
Take a look at something here. Genesis 16:6. From the King James Bible, what does it say?
But Abram said unto Sarah, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face.
Sarai treated so bad. This woman ran. And see, somebody tonight, you're being treated bad. You want to give up. I'm saying, don't give up.
Mm-mm.
The battle is not, it's not over yet. God sees your cry. He hears your prayers. And God will bring you out. I'm telling you, I've been through some situations like that.
Yes, I have.
I didn't ask to get in it, but God brought me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The devil had the plan to destroy me. Joseph said, you remember Joseph? He was in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Joseph was thrown in a pit. By his own brothers. Please remember who did it. Sometimes your own family members will treat you so bad. People that you would never. You remember Cain? He killed his own brother. He killed him. I mean, Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit because he had a dream. I'm telling somebody today, you know what happened to me? I think, was it 2000? I gave someone my vision, and they tried to take it from me. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they just lied on me. I'm not trying to tell y'all that I'm perfect, but I told the people, we started the ministry. I think in about 4 or 5 months, we had raised $13,000, and I was the founder of it. And had the money in the bank, and this man went against me, lied on me, and told the people that it was his ministry. And I didn't fight. I gave it back to him. I gave it back. I didn't fight. I just gave it up. And then, 3 months later, he had counsel. See, God will vindicate you, but you got to let him. I learned if I just let God, he'll fight my battles. And I'm telling you all that's listening tonight, if you'll just let God, he'll fight your battle.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give you what's right and just. The devil come to steal, to kill and destroy, but Jesus Christ came that you could have life. If you please listen to me tonight, don't give up. You're in a bad situation. It don't look like you're going to come out, but just hold on. Jesus will bring you out. Somebody may be going, you got to go to the emergency room. Maybe you've been to the emergency room. Maybe you've been through a bad marriage, had a divorce. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you've been lied on the job. I don't know. But I'm telling you, hold on. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is still on the throne. Take a look at something else. I want to get to this point. Chosen before the creation of the world. We got to understand, no matter what we go through,
mm-hmm.
God had already chose us.
Lord.
And ain't nothing nobody can do about that.
Mm-mm.
I've been chosen before the world was ever created. God had your lot, had your life already mapped out. The stroke couldn't kill you. The operation couldn't kill you.
Wow.
Mother born couldn't stop you. Nobody could stop you. Your life was already in God's hand. And I'm telling somebody today, your life is in God's hand. God's plan of spiritual salvation. Read what it said.
God's plan of spiritual salvation was not just an afterthought, nor did it come to God only after the first humans chose to disobey God and needed rescue and restoration in relation to God. His plan was laid out even before creation, or human history began. Reference Revelations 13 and 8.
God had already laid it out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Sarah come up with a plan for Abraham to sleep with Sarah, I hate God.
Mm-hmm.
God had already had it set up.
Because
mm-hmm. Abraham, God told Abraham he was going to multiply his seed.
Mm-hmm.
And that boy was named Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, the Bible, we found out, he lived to get 130 years old and had children.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
So God had already planned out. Now look at something else here. Genesis 26, verse 9 and 10. Look what it says.
The angel of God said, go back to your mistress. Put up with her abuse.
Angel telling Hagar, go back. Put up with her abuse. Now watch. Verse 10 says, what is it?
He continued, I'm going to give you a big family. Children past counting.
Got to. Mighty knows. He told that slave girl, the same one that Sarah put out. Now I'm going to give you a big family. So many children, you can't even count them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So God has already planned out. Look what it says here in Genesis 16, 13, and 14. What is it? And that's the message about.
She answered God by name, praying to the God who spoke to her. You're the God who sees me. Yes, he saw me, and then I saw him.
Good God. She said, this is Hagar now. God saw her, and then she saw God. Look what happened in the next verse.
That's how that desert spring got named, God Alive Sees Me Spring. That spring is still there between Kadesh and Bered.
Now that's where Isaac was at. When he saw Rebecca, or when Rebecca saw him. The same place that Hagar was about to die, and she had left the child to die.
Mm-hmm.
And she went off a little ways, and the angel came to her, and she found a brook and got water for the baby and nursed him back up. Mm. Same spot. I'm telling somebody tonight, the very thing that people did to you to hurt you is going to come out, wind up blessing you.
Thank you, Jesus.
God's going to use that same thing to give you the victory.
Mm.
Take a look at something. In Luke chapter 13, verse 25, from the New LT, what it says.
When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from.
Good God, honey, we don't want that.
No, I don't want that.
The key to the message tonight, you're in a situation and you didn't put yourself there.
Mm-mm.
But God's going to get you out.
Yeah.
Don't give up. You're in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't put yourself there.
Mm-mm.
But don't give up.
Mm-mm.
God's going to bring you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The same way he told Hagar, sent an angel when she was out there about to die.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't run away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord sends an angel and said, go back and put up with her.
Yes, he did.
Tolerate with her.
Mm-hmm.
I got a miracle for you.
Ooh.
Now that Muslims, aren't they large?
Oh, yeah. They're a great nation.
A great nation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody put on Facebook the other day, said they're going to take over the world. I don't know, but it's still the seed of Abraham.
Yes, they are. You can't deny them.
You can't deny them because Ishmael was Abraham's son.
Yes, he was.
And that wasn't the promised child.
No, it wasn't.
That was the child of the flesh.
Right.
But God said, even though it's the child of the flesh, I'm going to bless it.
That's right.
Did y'all hear me tonight?
Mm-hmm.
God said, even though it don't look like it, I'm still going to bless it.
Glory to God.
I'm going to bless it.
Glory to God.
You can call me now at 252-916-0104 here in the studio. But honey, God says, I'm going to bless it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling someone tonight, don't give up. It may look like you're not going to get up. It may look like it's all over. But I'm telling you, please don't give up.
Hmm.
God told me to tell you in a bad situation, he's going to bring you out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to bring you out of that situation. You're in a bad situation. You're caught up in it. You didn't ask to get in it, but you're in it. You're in a bad situation. You're caught up in it. But God said, I'll get you out.
Thank you, Jesus.
What you want to say?
What other way to get out but God tells you, stay here, go back and put up with their mess. I'm going to take care of you. Now, that's the way to get blessed. How many times have you been on a job and you have seemingly the worst manager ever? It seems like they are gunning for you to lose your job, and it's like, today is the day I'm going to quit.
Mm.
Today I'm going to quit. And God says, no, go back.
Go back.
And he's like, Lord, it's got to be better than this.
Yeah.
God says, no.
Go back.
Go back. Don't lose your job. This is going to work out for your good. And so, therefore, the message today, for those of you who receive it, you may be caught in a bad situation. You may not have put yourself there, and it's not that you did anything wrong. It's just simply, God is going to use it to bless you. And that's why God sent the message to my husband tonight.
You're going to get out of this situation.
Amen.
Listen. Listen to Gabby Smith. Victory. Just listen to this. Listen. Uh-oh. Give me the phone. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Oh, yeah, I timed it wrong with the song. Yeah, this is Joe. I had one or two thoughts.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one was, I guess Hagar could have been an exotic woman. I'm not sure, very attractive, or maybe medium attractive, but I think it was almost like she was relegated to the bench or off the field type of thing. And in terms of, you picture someone at a baseball game, they say, well, they can never actually play the game. And then Sarah suggested her stepping into a role that she was just a forgotten person.
Well, the thing was, right, many times, Joe, a lot of us find ourselves in situations that we don't want to be in. Now, after she got in and got pregnant, the Bible says she looked down on her mistress. But at the same time, she didn't ask to get there.
Right.
It was Sarah's plan to get her there and let her sleep with her husband. Now, naturally speaking, once you give someone permission to be with your wife or your husband, then Sarah turns around and blames Abraham.
But I see Hagar as almost someone that wouldn't have even been picked for that.
No, but I'm just saying, right? She was going to be like a surrogate mother.
Mm-hmm.
That was Sarah's idea. She, I told my wife, I said, they're going to take that baby. Because that's what Sarah's plan was. She'll be have a child for me because I couldn't have one.
Right.
And Sarah was blaming God. She said her womb was closed because God did it.
Right.
You know, this whole thing. Listen, my time is up, Joe. I got to go.
Yeah.
All right, man. We love you. Have a good one.
Okay. I'll see you. Okay.
Thank you. Honey, I tell you tonight, God is a good God. Even on a bad day, every time I turn around, God just keeps on blessing. We really got to go. Clock on the wall is telling me so. 8 minutes, I'm going to play Gabby Smith. But I guess I don't have time for that. I'm going to do number six, right? Let's see. Okay, here we go. We're going out.
Well, praises. We're coming to the time we got to go. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast tonight. I pray this has been a blessing to you. You can always call us at 252-214-0799 for prayer. But remember, whatever you do, do it in Jesus' name. Because he is the one that you have to watch out for. He's the one that will be with you always until the end of the world. If you're not saved tonight, or this evening, or this morning, whatever time you're looking at me, listening to me, I want you to know he's standing with his arms wide open, saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Until the next time, remember, God loves you, and I do too. Take care, and bye-bye.
Thought I was gonna lose my mind, but